Have you ever dreamed of marrying a random ass prince from a country with a made up name? Boy, oh boy, is this movie for you. Young, poor Rose MacIver travels, meets a guy, travel, wait, she, no, she travels. God damn it. It's a Christmas prince, y'all. Let's get started.
We wish you a merry Netflixmas and a sappy new year.
Hello and welcome to Netflixmas. I am one of your hosts, Scarlett, the Beans, Alexandra.
And I'm your other host, Holly, the toast, Cuomo.
Do you know why we made a very fun British breakfast reference?
Is it breakfast or just snack?
Is it? I would say, well, I don't know.
Been to Europe
or well, Asia. It's an English thing to have beans for breakfast for, I don't know. They're insane people.
We can ask our guest.
We can ask our guest. Do you know who our guest is?
I do.
Oh my gosh. Oh, what's that? I hear clopping of horses in the distance and a royal fanfare. What's that? Oh, I see a prince.
Hello. Hello, lady.
Hi.
Hello. Hello. Good evening.
Hi. How are you guys? Amazing. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me on your show. Let me tie these horse reins over here. my footman is just going to get me out of my carriage, and I can introduce myself. What time is it over there?
11 a.m.
It's 11 a.m. here.
11 a.m. Good morning. I'm Naz Osmanalo, half English, half Turkish, Canadian, stroke prince. And it's very lovely to meet you. So, thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. We're so excited to have an actual prince to review A Christmas Prince.
I wore my most American shirt to do this.
Really?
Yeah.
What's on your shirt?
It's a cowboy saddles, cowboy hats, cowboy boots.
Excellent. That's great. I don't feel like I'm wearing a princely enough get-up, but it's a podcast, so you can imagine I am actually wearing everything that
you look
so princely. I've got such a princely outfit on, and it's Turkish. And I've got a cape. I've got a bendy sword and terrible intentions.
Aren't they called sham shears? No.
What? The cards, I believe. Did you say ham shears? Ham shears?
I've only read the word.
Kind of a ham shear. Because even though I'm Turkish, I do love a bit of pork. This is a very crispy opening, is it? Hello, sausages!
I'll put some trumpets in there. It'll be okay.
I've got this long sword I can cut them up with.
And isn't the proper term to address your betters sahaidi?
Oh, but it's shahzade. You can call it shahzade, which is pasha is sultan. Shahzade is prince. But you can call me your Imperial Highness.
Well, we're so lucky to have you on.
Which is my actual title. and, you know, call me Naz. That's all right. Naz is, it's quicker, isn't it? My full name, I should say, is His Imperial Highness Prince Nazım Ziyadin Nazım Osmanlı. And my first name does feature twice in that. So, but that is my actual name. On my passport, so there you go. But now,
Yeah, I thought Scarlett Alexandra was long.
I couldn't spell my own name for years. Like, right up, yeah, I think 10 or 11. That says quite a lot about my brain.
I couldn't spell Alexandra for a really long time.
Well, I've got my name's got a silent G in it. It's ridiculous. I mean, it looks like a Wi-Fi password. It's ridiculous. And also, I didn't realize I've been saying my own name incorrectly my entire fucking life. So I went to Turkey 5 years for the first time, and hello, I'm Naz. First of all, that's a girl's name, as I was telling you earlier. So everyone laughs at me every time I introduce myself. And Naz is not just a girl's name, it's a stripper, like Crystal. So they're like, hello, I'm Crystal. And then my surname, as I pronounce it, as I've been taught by my own father, Osmanlı, Naz Osmanlı, is incorrect. So when I went to Turkey for the first time and said, hello, I'm Naz Osmanlı, they said, no, you're not. You're Nazım Osmanoğlu. And I could say my name incorrectly. And I get heckled with my own fucking name when I do gigs in Turkey. And then, oh, I'm Naz Osmanlı. No, and like people shout my own name at me. People came and taught me my name after my first gig. Said that it's a shame. That I should be ashamed of myself for calling myself that for 30 years.
It's just a like an emphasis on a different syllable.
Yeah, exactly.
So you just watched A Christmas Prince today.
Ooh, I just experienced that. I did.
Yeah.
Christmas joy. It's very interesting. Initial thought, didn't have to be set at Christmas, did it?
No.
why is it called? Why is it? I think it used to just be called a prince, and they need to spice it up a bit. That's what I think. It's got dick all to do with Christmas, apart from obviously the very important secret bauble, but you know that could have been, that didn't need to be Christmas, that was a fucking acorn. It could have been any old secret acorn.
Oh, we will talk about that acorn.
That was my initial response to A Christmas Prince. Why is it Christmas? This is not nothing. Why is it the most traditional Christmas as well for the Netflix audience as opposed to some Slavic bloc Christmas where they, I don't know, sacrifice a goat and eat loads of fish. It's very strange, but it's all right, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Well, okay. Enjoy. A few theories here. So this came out 3 years ago in 2017. It made a huge splash because Hallmark, Hallmark has essentially cornered the market on like cheesy Christmas movies. And then this was Netflix's first successful foray into the genre. So they didn't want to do anything too crazy, but also castles look gorgeous when they're decorated for Christmas.
That is true, actually. The castle did look very magical. And I did think to myself, God, I wish I had a castle several times. And I did even think my actual castle that belongs to me unofficially would look beautiful if it was covered with decorations.
It's wonderful.
Unfortunately, my castle was taken away during a revolution, so it's gone. It does look beautiful. It does look very, very Christmassy and lovely.
Could you just like knock on the door of that castle and be like, hey, can I just like see it?
I visited it when I went there. It's a museum, and I arrived, I said, my great-great-grandfather was born in a golden crib at this palace, Gombebate Palace in Istanbul, and I had to pay 35 Turkish lira to get into it. It's my castle. It's mine. That it's all mine. I was walking around going, that's mine. See that fucking priceless chandelier? That's mine. And I had to pay to get in here. I've got a ticket stub. Ridiculous.
Did you just take something off the shelf?
I visited the room my great-grandfather was circumcised in. That's my foreskin in there somewhere. It's mine. I couldn't believe 35. It wasn't even the discounted rate of 15 for fucking students. I was appalled.
Oh my god.
Getting a little bit emotional there, talking about castles.
I get it. Yeah, my family has been in the southern part of the United States for quite some time, and my family historically owned half of South Carolina.
I know exactly how you feel. It really sucks when they take land or, just being ex-landed gentry now. Awful. Yeah. But well, we'll get it back after the revolution, won't we?
I'm just so excited to get your take on this too, like just like with the sort of like royal pomp and circumstance of it and just like the ridiculousness of this movie.
It is a ridiculous movie. I mean, are we diving straight in?
We're gonna dive in first to the cast.
Right.
Just like, so we actually just pull up IMDb, look up in real time. Of course, like we've seen this movie quite a few times.
Yeah.
So we're pretty familiar.
I've noted a couple of cast members actually, because first of all, the first one, I just know someone in this film.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, so which is quite weird. So Emma Saunders plays the bitch, the bitch, the naughty, sorry, the bad woman. It's probably not the right terminology, but you know, she's a nasty piece of work, the evil villainess. I know a little bit. He's a London actor. So I spotted her. Oh, I know that person. But I made another spot, which blew my mind. The queen in the film, mm-hmm. was the Borg queen in 1997 Star Trek First Contact. That blew my mind. She's the Borg, you know, the cyborg queen. Mm-hmm. Did you see the film? Because I love Star Trek. So I was like, oh my God, it's her. And she's really, really saucy and scary in that movie in the late 90s. And she also has a head with a black vein coming out of it and a metallic spine. And she tries to seduce the character Data. And it's all a bit sexy, but however, I was a very young boy at that time. So I have some pretty twisted wank memories going on watching this film, going, hang on, I felt shame watching her before. Who is this? Yeah, and I believe her name is Alice Creed, the queen.
She also just has like such sharp features that I feel like it lends itself to villains. I mean,
she's brilliant. She's brilliant.
But yeah, she was recently in Hansel and Gretel, which I enjoyed. I enjoyed it.
If it's scary, I'm not. I don't. Mm-mm.
Oh,
is
I love
a horror film. Is it kind of a horror?
Yeah.
Scary rendering of the story. Okay. No, I haven't seen it, but I think I've seen an ad for it, a trailer, and I enjoyed. I thought that looked quite cool.
Oh yeah,
she's got a scary face.
Yes,
she's powerful. And as I say, I have some odd memories of her.
So Rose McIver is the main lady in this, and
she's Amber the journalist.
Yes,
is that right?
Yeah, and she okay because like when I first saw this movie because I had seen her in iZombie and also in Once Upon a Time, and she. Just look, she's so petite, and she's like a regular looking person. Like she's not like a Scarlett Johansson type where you're just like floored by her just unnatural beauty, but she's like a beautiful person.
Yeah, I see what you mean. She's got quite an accessible look, and she looks real.
Exactly. And she has just such like a natural charm about her that I love seeing her and whatever she does.
Tony Soprano's daughter. Remember her?
Yeah.
In The Sopranos. Sort of like a similar vibe.
What's her name?
Mezzo Soprano in the hit television series, The Sopranos.
They both have the big eyes.
Yeah, but I thought she was very likable. Some of her behavior is questionable in the film, but I suppose we can come to that when we start talking about plot. But yeah, I thought she was very good. Just, you know, very kind of accessible. I liked the prince as well. I thought he was pretty cool prince, you know, as princes go.
He's definitely got a princely, like, there's other movies that have, like, there's like a whole genre of Christmas movies with royalty in it. And yeah, it's a whole category.
Christmas themed prince film.
Yes.
I thought he could have been a little, because I thought he looked like a prince. He's a handsome man, and he's very nice. He's more like a soft, cuddly toy prince, though, than he's not got that sort of dark Turkish element that some princes have. But there's a sort of rogue aspect to them, sort of a troubled past, a darkness, a mystery is what the word I'm looking at, a sort of brooding chaos in the background. Anything can happen.
He's been coddled. He's been a coddled feller. And I was going to say that, like, a lot of...
He was a bit too lovely, I thought. He was well played, but he's just too good. You know, I was just expecting for some awful skeleton in the closet to be revealed. he's too perfect. You meet him and he picks up his wheelchair-bound sister lovingly. And then he sweeps everyone off their feet. He goes and plays with the orphans. And I was like, when's your dark secret going to be revealed? Where are you going to be absolutely terrible? Where are you going to reveal that you killed your father? He's in ashes in the acorn.
Well, so yeah, in these movies, the princes don't have to have like a personality or be a good actor. Like, no, they're just a placeholder, like, for... You know,
fantasies.
Yeah, just like for girls who are just like, oh, a prince.
But he did it well. Like, he wasn't. Insipid. I thought it was. He was. He did. He played his part well. I just wanted the script to give him a bit more meat.
Oh yeah, you're not going to get a whole lot of meat from any of these scripts. It's it's all just going to be farce and circumstance.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so that the little girl that you mentioned, so just so you know, there are three of these movies.
Yeah, the first one.
Oh, with the same actors in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, except for the dad.
It's a trilogy. Oh, how interesting. Is this the first?
Yes, there's a Christmas Prince, and then a Christmas Prince, a Royal Wedding, and then a Christmas Prince, a Royal Baby.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a whole saga.
It is.
Oh my God, they are so trying to, the algorithm is trying to mix The Crown with romantic comedy plus baubles. That's literally the equation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, they're obsessed with The Crown. Because I felt that watching this movie, that they were definitely trying to ape the British royal family as best they could. I mean, first of all, we're in the Slavic block, we're in Aldovia, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And they've got an English accent. What's going on there, guys? Why has this prince got an English accent? Is my first question.
That's there's a term for this. I forgot it. But there is a term for like the sort of like, especially with American films, if there's like a foreign, like something that takes place in a foreign place, and they just give everybody English accents, they're like, cool, they're foreign.
It's very funny. Yeah, it's Americans. Anyone else, any other accent is foreign. and it was everyone as well. Like, the prince had the same accent as the journalist. It was just an old spectrum of English accents. Very funny.
Well, even Rose McIver, she's from New Zealand too, so she's not even American.
Interesting.
They pull a lot of people like into the Netflix universe from Australia, just because everybody there is just gorgeous and can do an American accent. So she's one of the chosen.
And she's done all three films as well.
Yes. The only person that's changed is the father, is Amber's father. They switched him in the second and third movie to a different actor. Everybody reprises their roles.
Wow. So there's a whole story to continue. The wedding, royal wedding, mm-hmm. royal baby. What other secrets has she been keeping?
There's like
I can't wait to find out.
In
what
the
third book? In store. Well, what other dark secrets is the far? What? How many other acorns have been? Or do we go from acorn to coconut? Ooh, what is that royal coconut present they were going to give me?
Again, I want to talk about that acorn when we get to, because it gets deep and you will learn a lot about what our world has been in this podcast. But so the director also, this is his thing. Like, so this director only directed this first one because, oh God, I don't know if you noticed, but it was just so horribly lit. It was just like also horribly shot. But yeah. He also did Crown for Christmas, which is almost the same damn movie, but and then he also did Christmas in Evergreen.
Okay, he exclusively does Christmas movies.
Now he does. He used, let's see, he's done a few other things like Inspector Gadget 2, The Tooth Fairy 2.
At Christmas, a short.
Jingle All the Way 2.
Love Christmas. Oh, wow. So, anything with bells and snow, they call it.
Yeah. I mean, and it was a great effort, but yeah, like after the first one, they were like, maybe we can afford somebody a little bit better.
And but obviously, you said this film made waves. Cause, I mean, they must have done quite well, though.
Yeah.
There's three of them. Three of them.
Yeah, it sparked a whole damn thing. So this is
a whole subgenre print Christmas movie.
It's I was reading an article the other day too about these sort of like Netflix like movies and series that are coming out that just don't have a whole lot of substance but have a whole lot of just like, you know, ideas and aesthetic, and it's they described it as kind of like ambient watching.
Yeah.
So it's like not necessarily like, ooh, like plot, characters, ooh, all these things. It's more just like, this is something for me to watch and to have a feeling from, like a general feeling.
It's just like it's like background music at a Christmas party.
Yeah.
You feel warm as you sip on your mulled wine and don't have to use your brain whilst you eat mince pies and smell spices and Christmas.
That's probably why I like these movies. Because I don't have to use my brain. I hate it.
It's a short, sweet package. I mean, it's, you know, everyone is very nice, and it's only an hour and a half, and it does look like a Christmas card. I mean, it's interesting, it's a Hallmark. I mean, it's just bright and Christmassy, and it does look pretty. There are horses in it.
There's horses. There's snow. There's decorations. There's gorgeous dresses.
There's a lot of baubles in this movie. Every shot has a bauble in it. You notice this? Every single shot has a bauble in it. They spent more money on baubles than any of the other props. Did you notice the adoption papers? How budget that looked. It looked like a bit in an inkjet printer at like a student's house. Because all art departments spent all the budget on baubles. Couldn't believe this. The whole film starts off with giant baubles. Giant, massive baubles.
So
I was trying to count them throughout the movie.
For like, all of our American people, baubles are ornaments.
Yeah.
I just said the word bauble a billion times.
That's so cute, though. That's such a cute word.
What's bauble in American?
So I think baubles are just like round orbs, but we call like, that's what we use the word bauble for. But
it's kind of an old world word.
You're using bauble as an ornament, as like a round ornament.
Yes, bauble. Yeah, we use that. So for us, those round, yeah, the Christmas, we call them Christmas decorations, but they are baubles.
Yeah.
English love a bauble. Absolutely love it. As does this movie. That must have sounded a bit mad for about a minute, but... Yes,
I got it. I understood it. I watched enough Doctor Who to understand what you said.
Good, good, good. We're talking about directing, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. So I was going to go ahead and go into the plot unless there's any other interesting little tidbits that you saw within the cast, crew, or other little tidbits.
I think that's it. I don't think I recognize anyone else. I'm up for talking about the plot. Let's do it.
All right. Yeah. Let's go with the bubbles. Well, because it starts off with overhead shots of New York, like every other Christmas movie does. Yeah.
Of course. And Christmas at New York scene. And then we go into young Amber, the journalist, work environment.
Yes. She works for Now Beat magazine. And she wants to be a real journalist, but she's an underappreciated...
How am I supposed to be a real journalist after exposition? But I have a bad assignment, and all I want to do is be a real one. That's her, like, fifth line. She goes, I think her co-worker says something like, well, as you know, we're only junior writers. We're not real editors yet. It's like, yeah, I mean, I'm just going to tell you what you already know.
Yeah, not with that.
Shoehorn context. It's like, you guys know me, Scarlett Alexandra, the comedian / tech startup.
That I was born in 1985 on a Wednesday. It was a hot day. My mother, she was a nurse before she died. And she is dead. And just to ingratiate myself with the audience, I might just make another note of that. My mother died. She died of cancer. It was long and slow. My father is heartbroken, as am I. I want to be a real writer.
I mean, you got to have, again, these movies, there's very, very few movies where both parents are alive.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Straight up.
Also, it saves on, it's a budgetary thing as well. Then you only have one parent. Which is great.
And it gives easy emotional context. It's like, I'm deep. I have dead people.
Exactly.
Also, because it's called Now Beat as well, it just reminded me so much of Tiger Beat. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you had Tiger Beat in England, but it was just one of these just like shitty, teen gossip, like 90s, like
we had it called Now 17, I
think. Oh, yeah,
maybe a Sweet 17. You know what? I actually don't know. We had something like that, Sweet 16 or Now 17. I don't know. They were magazines for very young girls, which I did not read.
Oh, yeah,
that sort of thing.
For a long time, I had a Tiger Beat magazine with Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Well, yep. I had like a bop with Devin Sawa on it. He's still hot.
Oh,
I follow him on Instagram.
Who is that?
Devin Sawa? Casper? He played Casper.
I was reading.
Yeah, Devin Sawa has a garden now and kids. He's still super hot. Well, luckily for Amber, she gets a chance to be a real writer. Her boss sends her to a press conference in Aldovia because no one else can go.
It's around Christmas time.
There's no one else is available, so she goes.
I don't know if it's like the Asian ethics in me, but like we work on holidays. Like we just work on holidays. If I have to go to work on a holiday, I'll just do it.
Well, people make plans for Christmas.
If you want to be a real writer. She should be working. She needs to show good work ethic. But I do, and her father was working. He's working as well.
Because he owns a restaurant and has a weird accent, but he's very sweet. Yeah.
Also, he works in an independent coffee shop that serves Mexican dishes. Did you notice that?
I didn't
in
notice that.
In the background of his coffee shop, it's like they serve Mexican food. What is he thinking? Starbucks with fajitas.
Well, that's actually not odd for here in Texas. So that didn't even cross our mind.
Yeah.
That's the maddest thing I've ever heard. Is that normal? In England, like, if you get a coffee and guacamole.
Yeah, it was
not normal.
Yeah, it's kind of normal.
That is the most mad thing I've ever heard.
Breakfast tacos are a religion down here.
Yeah.
I suppose you're very close to Mexico, and that makes sense. But here, Mexican food is plus coffee is so very different. Very, you know, you can get a cookie and maybe a coffee or a piece of cake. The idea of sitting down and saying, "I want some refried beans and a macchiato," blows my mind.
I used to work at a coffee shop, and we served like Mexican food breakfast tacos with coffee.
Wow, that's so mad. Well, that is just too culture clash there, because I thought that was really funny and weird, but obviously it's not funny.
Maybe it is weird in New York, but like, yeah. It didn't even cross our minds that it was weird, because we've been in Texas, in Austin.
By the way, he still charges his daughter $4.50 for the coffee.
Oh my God, I noticed that!
Whether he's serving Mexican food or not, he's still a cheap ass, a bad father figure. Okay?
She works. She has a job. I mean, she probably makes the same amount of money as her dad, you think? I don't know how much a junior editor makes versus a business owner.
What are the side projects? What are the side gigs he has? I feel that the father character could really be investigated. Who knows? What's he selling? What apart from breakfast burritos is he selling in that coffee shop? Is there a black market down, you know, has he got people doing all sorts of things? I feel like there's all sorts of that character. And why did they get rid of him in the second film?
I have no idea. They switched him out. I mean, they
switched him.
Probably because his accent was so awful in the first one.
Well, and they also, and he was much more featured in the second one too, but with the new actor. So I kind of get it. But also, I just forgot what I was saying. Never mind. Boop. I just booped. I'm just, sorry, we're jumping around and I love it, but it's also, whew, there's just so much to this movie. It's so fun.
One thing that struck me plot-wise is, so she gets sent to Algovia. Mm-hmm. Immediately the prince is not available. And then she just starts committing a series of crimes.
Oh,
so she,
yeah.
So she goes to Aldovia with a press pass. Then, in order to stalk a prince, she commits identity fraud, breaks and enters, and then infiltrates a young crippled girl's room before smashing and destroying property and executing espionage. She nearly murdered someone with a bow and arrow. She's doing all sorts of shit.
I will say, I don't know how precocious you are in England, but you know, you can just like walk in anywhere if you're just confident enough. Like, I went to
Welcome to NASA once.
Yeah, you can just walk in places. Like, I went to like one of the oldest, fanciest hotels in Austin the other day, you know, for a nice little old fashioned, and I was like, I wonder if I can get to the roof. I just walked up there.
Yeah, I got into NASA. So I was in Alabama, and there's specific parts of NASA that tourists can go into if they pay for it. And me and my crew just walked in. We just walked in, started touring all of NASA.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, I think wearing building gear, so if you dress as a builder or if you wear like a high-vis jacket, mm-hmm. you get in anywhere. So if you have an elephant or a builder's hat and a high-vis jacket, you can get into anywhere. But apparently NASA, they welcome you either way.
They're like, oh, they're women. We don't want to discriminate. Just let them through. They're so confident.
Well, yeah. There's so many crimes you commit very early on.
So, especially in a foreign country too. Like, wouldn't you be like in judicial limbo if you got caught?
Yeah. What's she thinking? I mean, also, you don't like Aldovian prison. No, thank you. I don't want to spend Christmas there. I don't want to be dealing with the embassy over Christmas trying to get out of Aldovia. What's going to happen to you in that fucking place?
I was just gonna move the plot along with that little girl.
I'm gonna zip through these plot points.
The precocious little brat who then turns out to be quite a sweet ally of Amber. And she's kind of rolling around the place, and she's quite fun. She finds out that she's a journalist immediately because she's clever. And she kind of, what did she become her ally somehow? She says that she, as long as she's her friend or something, she
yeah, no, it's a, as long as she writes the real story about the real prince, that she'll help her. But this is my problem. Did they not check this woman's identification to figure out that she's not the tutor?
Before they left her in a room alone with a child who would struggle to defend herself?
A royal child?
Mad imposter?
Well, I mean, also, Rose MacGyver is like...
What? God knows.
Well, Rose MacGyver is also like, God, she's got to be like 5'3" and like maybe 100 pounds.
Yeah, like, that little girl. She was quite wily, and she seemed like she could handle herself in most situations. With a pen or something, she could whittle a little weapon.
Yeah. In the second one, we discover that she is a master hacker.
Oh. Well, she does sort of hack into the laptop, so that seed is dropped early.
Yeah, that acorn, if you will.
Oh!
Of course. No, more.
So when she...
come.
When Amber meets the queen for the first time, she does this weird curtsy thing that got memed over like a million times.
Found in my notes, weird curtsy moment, and it's like a ballet thing. And she puts her arms out.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, Scarlett, didn't you teach me how to properly curtsy?
Yes, I will teach you now. Okay, so everybody listening, including present company. Okay, so what you do, you can't see the bottom. But
nope, we just see a torso.
That's okay. All right, I'll show you my feet. If you can see it. Okay, yeah. So basically you're standing straight, and then you kind of tuck your right foot under. Right?
Yeah.
And then you use that sort of like top of your foot as a slide. Right?
That's very good.
And then
all the better for wearing a onesie.
Yeah, I'm wearing an owl onesie. But
yeah. You be wearing an owl onesie when meeting the queen.
But apparently, so like the higher the status, the lower you go. And so if it's somebody who's just like, I don't know, like a count. I don't know the rankings here, but you just like do like a this. If it's like a duke, you try to go.
A hint of a kneel for a count. But if we're talking like a marquis. How do you say it? Marquis.
A marquis.
Yeah. Marquis. Yeah, it's not marquis, isn't it?
I have no idea.
My bad spelling there. So, and if it's like an emperor, I suppose you go fully onto the floor.
I'm too fat. I can't do that.
Well, luckily I don't have to kneel. being the knelter. That's who is knelt to.
Well, it's different.
I've never seen someone knelt before me.
It might not. In the olden days, it might not have been so with kneeling for women, just because of skirts and heels and very precarious bodice structures.
So they wouldn't have knelt. They would have just been exploited.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, pretty much. But, oh, yeah, so that's the proper way to curtsy. Oh, yeah, now I'm also looking up the memes. This is fun.
But, yeah, so in the beginning, when Amber met the prince, I fucking forgot his name already. When Amber met the prince for the first time, he stole
Richard.
Her cab. Thank you, Prince Richard. He stole her cab, and she's like, "Ah, you jerk!" And then when she sees him in the castle, she recognizes him again, and they have that like "you" moment. And then eventually, after all this stuff takes place, and she becomes the nanny, yada yada yada.
Well, because he originally appears in like a scraggly pube beard.
A very fake beard. It's incredibly fake.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, but it's like,
why did they introduce him in that way? What was the point of that?
I think it's disguise. I think it's so supposed to, okay. So a lot of these movies, the couple starts off hating each other, and then it's like a Beauty and the Beast type thing where like he becomes this handsome prince and it's like, oh no, he's not an asshole. He's like a really sweet guy. I totally want to marry him after knowing him for 2 weeks.
Yeah, of course. And she does. Oh, we'll come. Not doing anything. Oh no! Edit that out.
But yeah, it's revealed at some point that he shaves, and she has this like moment where she's like, oh damn. Okay.
Wow.
Okay, Prince.
He's a hottie. Yeah. And also like, but they kind of, they happen very quickly because she immediately, as soon as he's arrived, so he has a beard, he's a jerk. Mm-hmm. And then he shaves and he's Prince Charming and he's really lovely. And then every other thing he does is just more and more lovely.
Yeah.
Like he's a really charming and witty. And then he's really nice to his sister. And then he's a bit clumsy at archery. And then he's like riding a horse. And then he's throwing snowballs at orphans. And it's like, dude, come on. Stop being so brilliant all the time. And have a couple of drinks and just become a bit right wing or something.
Well, I think part of that charm is like at the very beginning, they paint him as a sort of just like international playboy who just like doesn't give a fuck. And then you're like, oh wait, he's a bad boy with a heart of gold.
He's been a bad boy. He doesn't even want the crown until he's told he's not allowed it. yeah. But yeah, he starts kind of growing as he starts being revealed to be a sort of more and more plausible romantic partner, and that's happening quite quickly. But they also immediately drop this bit of plot, don't they, about how it's a year and he's got a year in order to decide whether to take the throne, which I can tell you as a prince is absolute bullshit. That's not how it works. That's not how succession works, guys. What happens is you die, and then you're very lucky enough to be born as a prince, and it happens immediately, guys. Unless there's a fucking revolution, there's no this years-long wait whether you're going to take the throne. It's all decided for you. So that was a bit annoying. I was rolling my eyes at that bit of clock. And like, who goes on holiday to Ibiza for a year and doesn't take the throne? Also, why would you have to do it by Christmas Day? All these questions. Why would a very important government official business
be on Christmas? The reason is so the movie can happen.
Okay, all right, fine.
that's the reason. The movie needs to happen, and so here we are.
This script can exist. But anyway, that very important bit of plot allows us to, gives us a ticking time bomb that the prince, the king, he's going to become the king or not in a very few days.
And well, it gives it the urgency and the sort of like, why now? And, you know, gives it some stakes. So I get it.
Oh, I get it. And, you know, and it's good. It's always nice to have a deadline. And of course, stakes are high. Mm-hmm. And they're only going to get higher because she slowly starts to fall in love with him. To lie to him.
Such, oh my god, barrier. We haven't even got there yet. The audience doesn't know. They don't.
There's so many. I'm really bad at reviewing movies.
Wow, you just gave everything away.
I'm just telling you the movie without really guiding you through the plot.
Wow.
I'm not being in charge of this. Never let a prince review a prince film. All right. What bit of the plot are we? I'll go back.
We're at the very beginning still.
Well, I'm going to just like zip through this because we've talked a lot about plot points and it doesn't matter.
Oh, wait. Have we been introduced to Simon yet?
I was about to introduce Simon and Lady Sophia. So Simon is their cousin. Lord of Duxbury. I don't know if Duxbury is a real place, but it sounds fake. And
I mean, it's a nice English name. I mean, it's not, it's like a fake English name.
Yeah. And then we meet Lady Sophia, who I guess dated the prince when they were younger. And she's just, a gold digger.
Well, she's also gorgeous, yes, too.
She's so pretty. Yeah.
But played by the lovely Emma Saunders, who's very good.
She's gorgeous. But yeah, while Simon looks like he's just like constantly smelling a fart, like while being on a yacht.
Yeah.
I thought his character could have been a little bit more evil. Could have been a bit more, maybe. He was very smarmy and entitled. And I did like the sort of smell the fart acting as a reference to the Friends there. But yeah, so he was the baddie, wasn't he?
Yeah, in the second and third movie we like him, but in the first movie we hate him.
Yeah, okay. He definitely does need like an evil cackle or something.
Or
like a
he could have had a claw. That would have been, there's not enough people with claws in movies anymore. Give them a hook and like an eye patch. That's my kind of villain.
Nice little scar. Like, we need to know with visual context.
Yeah. I really love obvious visual cues. Yeah.
Especially when you're watching something as ambient as this.
So let's zip through.
Yep.
So there was like a snowball fight with orphans.
Oh my god, it was like a fiery line too. Like this was like so aggressive. Flood.
Yeah.
Like that, oh my god, that's like really violent. Like they're like, oh yeah, get ready to shoot people to death with snowballs.
And then the...
Now your parents died. Yes, orphans, do you remember how they were butchered by my father, the king? Let's reenact it. See, that's the sort of darkness that I'm looking for.
Then there's a sweet tobogganing scene where Amber sneaks Princess Emily off and they go tobogganing. And
and the queen is like warming up to her too.
Yeah. The queen's like, I know my way around a bobsled. I was like, yeah, you do.
Your father and I used to ride a bobsled together.
Ooh, who's Bob?
And then I guess the prince is riding on a horse and Amber decides to follow him into the woods and she gets attacked by wolves and then he saves her. And then during this cabin, he reveals that his father left this poem and they don't know what the poem means. And then they almost kiss. And then I don't know why he didn't. Then she finds a secret compartment in the desk drawer. And she finds in the secret compartment some papers and a folder. OMG.
A royal folder.
Super. What does a royal folder look like? Probably just a manila folder?
It's just like a manila folder, but like fancy.
Because as I said, they spent all the prop money on Christmas decorations.
On baubles.
And so... Bauble. How do you say it in American?
Ornament.
Bauble.
Yeah, like ball. But before you get to the L part, you add a bull.
Bauble.
Yeah.
Bobbles.
Bauble.
Bauble.
This is the tower. Right now, we're experiencing the Tower of Bauble.
So the prince was adopted. What? Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. And then Amber calls her coworkers back in New York.
Oh, she keeps doing this too. She just like keeps Skyping them just so she can have somebody to bounce off of.
Yeah, and also she keeps writing down really weird notes on her laptop.
I forgot about that.
So, like, what? Who writes? Oh, I need to dig deeper. Like, but what is the real story? Who writes that in a note formation on their laptop in bullet point? And also, I noticed like it says note 3 on the third page of her notes, it says, need to dig deeper. What notes does she have in the first couple of pages?
Oh, man. Amber is not the smartest. She's not the brightest bauble. No. So we see Sophia trying to seduce Richard, and Amber also sees this. Sophia is manipulative and not nice. And then she gets fatherly advice, and she says it's better than a fortune cookie. Okay. These are notes from your... Anyway, they go for a walk.
Wait, fatherly advice from...
Her dad.
She calls her dad.
She's like, what do I do? I could ruin a life. And he's like, oh, here's some advice. And then she's like, you're better than a fortune cookie. And it's like, cool, because fortune cookies... Do y'all have fortune cookies in England?
Oh, yeah. Okay. We know of fortune cookies.
Okay, because they're an American invention.
Yeah, they're invented in New York.
Yeah. They're not really Asian. Yo-yos are Asian, though. All right. They go... her and Richard go for a walk. Yeah. Wait, what was it?
So the father gives advice.
Yeah.
And then she immediately, I've forgotten now what happened.
She goes for a walk with Richard, and she doesn't tell him the truth, but they kiss.
Yes, they do. They snog, don't they?
So we rate our kisses. So if it's, we rate them from 1 to 5, 1 being partridge in a pear tree, 2 being 2 turtle doves, all the way up to 5 golden rings.
5 golden rings?
Yeah, like this one.
Okay. And
I would rank this kiss, this first kiss, as the 3 French hens.
Yeah.
Kiss, okay. Just because of circumstance. Like, it's not like the, like, knee-quivering, like, sort of kiss that you're just like, oh. Yeah. It's just more like, ooh, this is nice.
It's not, I'm going to throw you down in this hay and ravage you, kid. It's more like, look, are they in the snow when it happens? So it's like, our bums are a little wet because of the snow. But also, I'm uncomfortable and I want to get up quite quickly, so we're not going to roll around. But it's not a peck on your cheek.
Yeah.
But it's a very thorough fingering, I guess. You know, it's very middle of the road as sexually characters go.
So would you agree 3 French hens?
I think so, yeah. 3 French hens.
What about you, Holly?
I would also agree with 3 French hens. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I was still in my seat. I was like, oh, that's sweet. And then, you know, my life continued. While Amber and Richard are kissing, Sophia and Simon are
creeping.
Yeah, snooping through Amber's room, and they find the adoption papers and her passport. So they realize that she's a fake and that Richard is adopted.
Also a fake.
Yes.
Yeah, you think you would hide that information a little bit more.
Yeah, doesn't she have like a royal lockbox? Or some shit.
Yeah, or like a vault. Why did he hide it in a shed outside rather than in the royal? Could have gotten
burned down.
In a bank, you know, like in a safe deposit box. Or maybe he could have just told his wife.
Well, he hid it in that bauble.
Well,
Richard goes to his father's grave, and he's like, Dad, I will do this. I will become the best king that ever kinged over this fake country.
That ever kinged.
Yeah. So now it's makeover time.
It's my favorite.
Makeover time for the Christmas Eve ball. Mm. And there's no montage, which I was really sad about.
That's true. That is quite an original part of this film.
Yeah. I love a good, like, getting dressed montage. But okay, now this is now it's the Christmas Eve ball, and this is a dress reveal. This is where Scarlett goes ham on the dress reveal.
All right. Hold on. Hold your horses that you came in on, Nas.
Hold your elephants.
Hold your elephants.
I'm holding those horses.
So this dress, as you said, they spent all of the money on bubbles. But they wanted an aesthetic for this dress for sure, which was, and it was very pretty. Like, they had, like, a nice overlay. It didn't fit her quite right, which is, like, just, like, it had, it, like, yeah, it just, like, wasn't tailored to her, maybe. Like, they had just, like, bought it. It was, like, off the rack. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, it's very pretty. It's a very pretty off the rack, but still off the rack. And, of course, like, she's kind of, like, wearing these, like, white gloves just to seem more royal, I guess. But they don't even go with the dress, okay? They're, like, blatantly white while she's wearing, like, a silver champagne and blue dress, which is, like, what are you, a fucking monster? Anyway, paired with, like, a chintzy, like, I don't know, bulby bun in the back of her head, just, like, swept up, nothing fancy going on in the front. Like, she doesn't even have, like, I don't know, like, a butterfly clip going on there. And her eyes look insane. Like, they're just rimmed in black. Like, she just created her first MySpace page. Like,
I do remember that. I'm just looking at a picture now. She's pretty creepy. Her eyes are pretty scary.
Yeah, they, like, I think the biggest bungle of this outfit, because, like, I do like it. Don't get me wrong. I'm just going to read her to filth a little bit. But the makeup is where it really went off the rails. Where whoever was the makeup artist, like, was, you know, like a MySpace celebrity in, like, 2005, and was like, yeah, this is for sure still the style in 2017. Rim those bitches in black, look like a fucking raccoon, you're on your way.
I never notice anything about outfits or makeup unless it's really, really bad. The part I had a problem with is she comes down those giant stairs, and as soon as the prince sees her, he takes her back up the stairs. Fuck.
Well, actually, that's a sort of princely move, just to really keep them on their toes. Before picking a bride, always take her back up the stairs she's just arrived at the bottom of. You do the same thing with a horse. But she jumps off it, he's put it back on again. See how she deals with it.
I will say.
You also put a pea underneath where she's sleeping. There are these little things that we do.
But this is also, you know, the best dress of the entire series. Because if you fast forward to the wedding that they have, she's just, like, wearing, like, a white garbage bag with sleeves.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, all right. I'm done. But also, the steps moment is it's like necessary.
Yeah, you have to have a step, like a step stair reveal.
Like, you cannot have a Prince movie unless, like, you descend a staircase, everyone turns their heads, and they're like, oh, that bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't, like, bungalows, they just don't work as locations for these movies. Like, a Christmas Prince could not work in a bungalow. I just think we need the location scout on the first. He was actually fired because he found a load of bungalow palaces. Like, yeah, this is not good enough. And he's like, but there's loads of baubles on.
okay. Side note, have you seen, there's a British series that I think is just, like, they're like, well, it's a copy and paste of Great British Bake Off, but it's with tiny houses and, like, tiny cabins.
I've heard of these tiny
cabins. Oh, it's insane, because, like, they're just like, oh, we want to create it in the style of, like, a stovepipe hat, or we want to create a cabin that's an homage to a coal mine where you have to crawl inside.
What?
I don't know. British people are freaking weird. You have beans for breakfast.
Very interesting. Yeah. You have burritos in coffee houses. Shut up.
We have one restaurant that does a full English breakfast and gets the Heinz beans and everything.
Yeah, the best breakfast ever.
It's called. Wait, I think it's in South Austin. I think the place is called Full English.
Oh no, they closed because it.
Never
closed.
Mind.
I've been there.
Did British teas and stuff like that, and it was cute.
Come to England and have one of our proper full English breakfast. I can assure you, they're healthy than your breakfast.
Probably,
I and have.
Ours is very, very bad.
See, I'll hate on beans all day, but bangers and mash is like a perfect way to start your day.
Love bangers. So she's at the top of the stairs in her dress with her scary eyes, and he looks up at her, and everyone's like, that's the new princess in the making.
Mm-hmm.
And then he walks her back up the stairs, and what happens then?
They dance.
Yeah.
They go dancing. They dance, and then Sophia ends up stopping the whatever, her and Simon, and they're like, hey, she's a fraud. She's a liar. Her real name's Amber. She's a journalist. And guess what? The prince is adopted. So Simon, Lord of Duxbury, is actually the real king.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, they were drama queens about it, but they have, like, legitimate points and concerns.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the law is the law. And they have just exposed an imposter who's been dealing with children that they should be dealing with.
Yeah.
You know what I found out, though, about your country is that, the queen, like cannot break the law. Because when she does something, it is, like, the law. Because she is the law. So it's like, yeah.
The queen could just like go and take a massive dump in the middle of the street and then shoot everybody.
Get out of my brain. That's exactly the example I would have done. Get out of my head. Oh. Yeah.
She's got wearing a crown, just like letting it go in the middle of the street and then massacres a load of people.
If horses that's can do all. It, so can we. Okay?
That's why you want to be in this prince game, because one day we'll just become the lawmakers. I can't wait to be sultan, because I'm going to do so many shits in the street now. I'm going to be walking girls upstairs willy-nilly.
It's just like, come down the stairs, no go back up. Come down the stairs.
And if I don't like them, I'll throw them down the stairs. Commit murder. I don't care. It's now the law. I'll roll around with a series of women in the snow, raising their kisses.
Raving, like, immediately afterwards.
So Richard and the Queen talk about his adoption, and he's like, why didn't you tell me? She's like,
too hard.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
She's like, I'm a bored queen. I have no emotions. And then
I had a very troubled time in the late 90s. The queen of a vast synthetic race, and Captain Picard was there, and we had to see. Yeah. I don't relate.
Patrick Stewart is his like real father. That died.
Oh my god. Jean-Luc Picard is the real King Rich. This changes the whole dynamic of the movie. In the future, he impregnates a cyborg queen who then lives forever in a space-time continuum and comes back into Aldova in 2017. Oh no, it would be 30 years prior to that. And
I love it.
And adopts. Ooh,
I love it.
This is a good conspiracy theory, like really nerdy film, bit of sci-fi theory. But yeah, I love that. John Picard is King Richard's father.
Wait a second. Isn't there a magical old man somewhere in this one?
Not in this one. In this universe. There is, because this is a whole universe. Like, this movie is part of the Netflix Christmas universe. There's like other Christmas movies that connect to this movie
Of the acorn.
Yeah, and the third movie, like Christmas Prince Royal Baby, there's a magical curse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And in other ones, they have like magical old people who just like appear.
Yeah, there's like an old crone in a movie, a magical crone in one movie. It's the night before Christmas, like K-N-I-G-H-T.
Crones are very interesting characters. You know, I always want to know the backstory of the crone. You know,
me right now. This is my backstory.
This is the backstory of the crowd. You come find me in 50 years' time. I'm going to be croning about, giving weird, mysterious advice, cursing people.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. I like want to live in a swamp in Florida.
Like, oh, no. Florida, gross.
I won't care. I'm going to be a crone.
Move to Louisiana and be in that swamp.
Crones don't have that many choices. Okay? You'll be banished to Florida. Yeah.
Banished to Florida. I'll be because I'm a crone.
So the Queen and Richard decide to fight Simon on this. And Amber goes to, Simon and Sophia get married because Sophia wants to be queen. Amber goes to the airport on Christmas Day and she figures, you would think it would be packed, but she figures out the riddle, the poem.
I've traveled on Christmas Day before. It's actually a very light travel day.
Oh.
Is it?
Yeah, the tickets are cheaper on Christmas.
So buy your tickets. Corona Christmas Day.
A very merry Corona Christmas. That's our next one.
So she figures out the riddle. Richard and the Queen try to stop Simon, and Amber breaks back into the castle to get to the acorn, and Mrs. Avril is like, "What are you doing here? I will put you in the dungeon." And Amber's like, "No, bitch, I figured it out. Give me the acorn." So when Count Simon is about to be coronated, Amber's like, "Stop everything. I got an acorn bauble." And she opens it up, reads the thing, and it's an amended decree from the king. And it says that even though Prince Richard is adopted, he is allowed to be king. Because blood doesn't matter.
Why wouldn't this have been, like, why wouldn't he made this public? Why is that a secret decree? Like, what's the point of a decree if it's gonna be secret?
Okay, so I see.
Fake European states do law and legislation. I think hiding it in a wooden acorn to be posthumously discovered is not the right way to go about governing.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, like, the king didn't get a chance to give it to the queen before he died, but, like, also, why would he put a law decree in a fucking ornament and not take care of it right away? Or tell his wife, the queen.
Or tell the prime minister, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, the person who actually deals with law, or any of the other legal people, or anyone. I think Mad King Richard was a bit nutty. And
maybe Simon was sneaking around, you know, smelling some buttholes, and
also,
just
what else is he hidden? What other laws are there hidden around the household?
I would crack open every nut.
No one does wear trousers anymore. What's this piece of paper in a plant box? Like, all the firstborn need to be executed on Thursday.
Thursday.
Richard's gone fucking people. We keep finding new laws. They're getting weirder, guys.
Like, if every bauble was a different law.
He lost the plot before he died.
And then the very last bauble they find, like, establishes a democracy.
It's a free for all. There's no law. Everyone's king now.
It just says anarchy, and then
everyone. It's a big Hunger Games. Last man standing wins.
I'd be into it. That sounds like such a fun way to
be a country. What a great ending of a film. They all start fucking killing each other. We by Lord Royal Decree.
It would be quite a battle royale.
Now there's that's not a Christmas Prince movie. But what a movie. battle royale.
Did we already establish that the queen is in fact a baroness?
Oh no.
Ah, apart from her miracle baby she had. She doesn't have a baby. Or does, but when she said it was a miracle, does that mean I kidnapped a child?
She adopted a child because she's barren.
Oh, she was talking about Emily, the miracle baby.
Oh.
She probably kidnapped her.
Oh, so she, Emily was natural born?
Yeah.
Well, that's what she says, but I think she stole her. And it was obviously violent, and that's how she hurt her leg.
There are a lot of orphans in this.
In this kingdom. Weird European Slavic state.
Why are there so many orphans?
Because of all the killings.
Firing lines?
Because of all the killings that Mad King Richard had ordered, but we don't discuss anymore in front of the children.
King Richard was like, y'all are my besties, y'all are coming with me to the grave.
Oh, dear. Oh, I bet that there's this like dark undertone to this story. But
see, you were saying at the beginning that there were no dark undertones, but you were wrong.
I was wrong. I was wrong. This is a multi-layered ambient film.
Right? Yeah. Ambient. I love it. Multi-layered and ambient. Like Muzak.
Exactly. So, and then...
Simon gets dumped. Truth.
Of course, Simon is dumped very quickly.
Yeah.
By your friend.
Sophia. Yes. I forgot her name. I was like, I forget everybody's name. White people confuse me. They look all the same. Anyway, Richard becomes king. Amber turns in her story, but it's just a puff piece. So like it gets completely rejected and she's back to being a junior editor. And so yes. Bless you, Scarlett.
Thank you.
But yeah, she quits her job. She's like, you know what? Fuck this shit. And then she flips the boss's desk over and then shits on it and then immediately goes to work for her dad.
In the Mexican restaurant stroke cafe.
And now at this point, it's New Year's Eve. And her friends are like, come on, girl, let's go out and get some strange. And she's like, nah, I'll just go and work. And so a snowball gets thrown at her work window.
Where are those fucking orphans? Where are you fucking kids? I'm going to kill you.
Turns out it's not an orphan. Well, it kind of is an orphan because he's adopted. But
big orphan.
He's the king.
Fully grown orphan.
An adult orphan, yeah.
Adult king orphan. It was Prince Richard.
And he, what?
Yeah, he shows up New Year's Eve a few minutes before midnight and he fucking proposes.
Wouldn't it be awkward if he showed up and she was just, you know, as most single people are on New Year's Eve, really drunk and necking off with a stranger. And he turns up and says, like, will you marry me? And she's like, what the fuck are you doing here? I'm about to get some dick. Could you, like, go?
Like a piece.
It's not a good time, Prince Orphan, whatever your name is.
Also, like, New Year's Eve in New York City is, like, hugely packed.
Yeah,
like, it's impossible to get anywhere.
How did he negotiate his way there? Also, why are they open so late, the cafe?
I think it's to toast at midnight. Also, like, diners and stuff are open really late, especially if people are drunk. They like the after bar food.
I did work at because in New Orleans bars are open 24/7, and then I also worked in a Chicago bar that was a 4 a.m. bar, and it was the only 4 a.m. bar in downtown Chicago, and it was a nightmare.
I can't even imagine. But yeah, he proposes 3 weeks after they meet, and I just want to tell my husband, fuck you for not proposing 3 weeks after we met and not being a king of a small made-up country.
But yeah, that's the end. They kiss at the end, right?
Yeah.
That's,
and what rating that kiss did you give?
I think circumstantially, I would give it a 4 calling birds.
I'm giving it a 4 calling birds plus 1 big old golden ring.
I think there's at least 1 ring going on that night. Yeah, definitely. Because you know, when a prince comes to sweep you off your feet on New Year's Eve in New York, there's going to be some serious drunk sex going on in a matter of hours. So I think that, yeah, something's happened there.
I hope that. I hope everybody gets proposed on New Year's Eve and has drunk engaged sex with a king.
Yeah.
Poor prince.
Is he a prince at that point? Is he coordinated?
He was already
king.
He got coordinated on Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah, that was that whole thing. Okay, yeah. That was like half the plot of the movie.
Yeah, the whole coronation scene.
Yeah.
So why isn't it called A Christmas King? Because on Christmas he was king.
Well, because he was a Christmas prince because he was born on Christmas or some shit. I don't know.
It should be called A Christmas King. A Christmas coronation.
A Christmas coronation. That sounds so much fancier. But, you know, us Americans, we're simple. You know, you just give us a title of what the thing is, and we're gonna have a fun time.
Well, it was a fun film. I enjoyed it as a prince. I enjoyed watching one of my rivals sweeping a lady off her feet, and it was very Christmassy, lots of baubles. It was a fun package, I thought. What were your thoughts?
I liked it. I mean, I didn't mind watching it over again. I think the first time, like when it came out, I watched it like 3 or 4 times because I'm an insane person. I watch things and like 5 or 6 times and then I get sick of it and I never watch it for years. But no, it was a fun rewatch. The part where like everything got revealed, it got really, I got the secondhand anxiety from it. Where that whole, he's adopted, she's a fraud kind of moment publicly happened. That was weird.
It was all very dramatic. It was all, of course, it's a movie, so it's got to be dramatic. But yeah, it was like this could have happened behind closed doors. But you know what? Let's just make a fucking spectacle.
Do I want to marry a royal? Probably. I still do. I'm married now, but I'll marry again. I'll just find a country where Polly is a thing.
Turkish princes can actually marry multiple times.
Okay, I want to be a Turkish prince now. That's my goal in life.
I think we're allowed up to 7 spouses.
Shut the fuck up.
7's like the magic number?
Yeah, I think it's 7.
But like, maybe
not even including concubines, guys.
What if it's like a Scheherazade situation?
What's a Scheherazade?
Scheherazade. I don't know if the prince would marry before. I think maybe you become sultan, you're allowed to marry as many people as you want.
Okay.
Well, but then you also have other extracurricular sort of.
Yeah, you have your like consorts and concubines.
Chicks. Your chicks in sort of red velvet rooms that you can go visit. So there's all. You know, us princes, they can do anything. They do all sorts of things in Turkey, really.
But like, if you get 7 wives and one of them dies, can you like get another 7th wife?
Or do you still have to be married to the dead one? like Thursday night. Oh no, she really stinks now.
Like a weekend.
You have to get. You're married for life.
You're a weekend at Bernie's wife.
Oh. Being a prince was so good until now. I don't know. I wonder if it's a one-in, one-out situation.
I was going to say, like, it's interesting how they painted the Lady Sophia as the gold digger. And then, like, but this whole story is surrounding, like, a poor, like, New York girl who finagles her way illegally into the palace and then marries a prince. Like, isn't she like the definition of a gold digger?
Yeah. I think she's a gold finder because I don't think she dug for it. She just stumbled upon it.
She literally did some investigative digging. I mean, she's got...
That's true.
Maybe not a shovel, but a spade. She's doing a little bit of digging, and she's finding some gold, and she's putting some of that gold in her pocket.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
In her pocket.
Yeah. That's where the gold rings go.
Because I also imagine, like, being a prince... Like, you gotta have just, like, chicks just being, like, and then, like, having to sort through all the bullshit. So maybe she was, like, the one. Because, like, he's also, like what? He's, like, 30 at this point and still single? Isn't that, like, old, like, older for, like, an active royal?
Yeah. I guess, you know, she's gonna be asking what's wrong with it. Why is this eligible bachelor? Why is he still an eligible bachelor?
Yeah, like, what if he's...
Orphan so often. On here.
Yeah, what if he's an orphan because he murdered his parents and he's secretly a sociopath?
What if he's like a sleeper agent?
Oh, have you ever had people who just wanted to date you because you're a prince?
No, although someone once posed as my cousin in Edinburgh. I was doing a gig and a guy came up to me and said, I'm your cousin. And he gave me all this long list of names. And I was like, all right. And we went out drinking together and had a really fun time. And I got his number and I was like, well, you know, we're family, so I'll call you next time I'm here. And I never got in touch with him. I just didn't think anything of it. And a few months later, he messaged me saying, I feel ashamed, but I lied about my position and my name. I'm not your relative and I have nothing to do with the royal family.
Please
forgive me. Bye. And it was a shame. We just had a nice time, but yeah, he did what she did. he finagled his way into the royal circle. but other than that, no. I think maybe not really. I don't tend to use my princely credentials when I meet people, and no one really knows I'm a prince.
You should just show up to dates with an elephant.
Yeah, I just show up on an elephant and I'd be like, so you want some of this?
You want this trunk?
Park my elephant. My other trunk.
Like roll up to a valet, like don't scratch it.
Throw the keys. They're like, you don't need those. I just like throwing keys at you.
Oh man!
No. Being a prince has not really helped my dating ever.
In America, it could.
Yeah.
If you go into a bar and be like, "Hey, I'm a prince."
Yeah.
My future wife will be a princess. So there's that.
Hell yeah! Well, so what are you doing on Christmas?
I'm flying to New York and I ask people to marry me. 7 people. There's an elephant going to be walking around New York, shitting everywhere, with a drunk man asking people to marry him.
Can you get a DUI on an elephant? Oh, man. Well, yeah. So, and you're right. None of this needed to take place on Christmas, except for the funness of it all.
Exactly. It was, and, you know, it suited Christmas. It was a beautiful castle, beautiful baubles, lots of red and white and gold, and it was very warm. And in the end, there was a big acorn that was very important, which is Christmas.
So did we tell you that acorn also appears in another unrelated movie?
Really?
So it appears in A Night Before Christmas, which takes place in America, and it's Vanessa Hudgens in Ohio, and it's Vanessa Hudgens, and she falls in love with a
knight from like the 1600s that travels forward in time because an old crone sent him forward in time.
It was me.
Just like how the mother traveled back in time after fucking Jean-Luc Picard.
Yep.
So the time-traveling acorn.
Mm-hmm.
Time-traveling. Mm-hmm. Well, this takes place in the same universe. And then there's another Christmas royal series on Netflix called a Princess Switch. And Witch is a Prince and the Pauper situation with two Vanessa Hudgenses. And they switch places. And the newest one that came out has three Vanessa Hudgenses, and there's a whole like Princess Switch that happens. And then there's no, but like a Christmas Prince, like this couple shows up at their wedding.
Yeah, King Richard and Queen Amber show up at the Queen Margaret's coronation.
They're trying to create another Marvel universe, but it's just in Christmas Prince territory.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. But it seems to be working.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge following here, and it's lovely, and it's ambient, and
it is lovely, and I felt very warm, and felt like, you know, I need to do more Christmassy Prince things as a prince.
Yeah.
I've tracked down a group of homeless orphans that I'm going to go throw
snowballs at.
I'm going to fire some arrows at a wheelchair-bound girl. I found a horse which I'm going to roam on, and then I'm going to roll about in the snow. I'm going to go find some stairs. I'm going to wait at the bottom of a staircase, and as soon as the first lady comes down, I'm going to whisk her back up it.
There is a really cute line though when she descends the stairs and she's like, why are they staring? And he's like, because you look perfect.
Oh, very, very, very princely. Very princely.
But I mean, like, there's just so many like fun little moments, especially because like Rose McIver is an accessible person to watch.
Yeah.
And it's not like Meghan Markle, who's like friggin' gorgeous and graceful, who's just like shows up in LA and it's like one of those things. It's like, yeah, anyway, it's romantic and accessible for women to just like place themselves in that role. Yeah. Like Twilight.
And she doesn't steal this prince away from his duties.
What is your take on that? Just really quickly.
Well, I mean, I think as a nation, the UK have been, I think, quite angry with Meghan Markle. I am not as incensed, you know, I think it's a shame that maybe Harry is headed off into a different sphere, but, you know, it's his family and stuff. A lot of people see her as Yoko Ono in England, and I think she's got quite a lot of grief here. I think people have been quite mean to her, which I don't think is cool, but also that's what happens here. If you're in the royal family, the press eat you alive. So I don't think...
You think they're going to get rid of her like they did Princess Diana?
She's got a bullet coming. I hope not. I don't know. I think, God knows. I do think, though, that it has certainly changed the face of the royal family. Like, everything is a bit crazy. But then The Crown comes out on Netflix and everyone loves the royal family again. So it's all very silly.
Oh, yeah. And I think Kristen Stewart's about to play Princess Di on a new...
Yeah.
Was it Kristen biopic? Stewart?
Yeah.
Kristen Stewart. Really?
Yeah. I hope it's like an alternate universe where Princess Diana is actually just like super gay.
Or like a vampire comes out and she's really
scary. Yeah. A vampire Princess Diana. I would watch that. We should review that one next time.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah!
I've had so much fun reviewing and also spoiling the plot of the movie, talking about things that hadn't happened yet, but it's been really fun. Really fun.
Thank you so much for doing this. This is like such a wonderful Christmas present, not only for us, but, you know, our listeners, and I hope...
As a prince, I'm allowed to do 7 different podcasts.
Until one dies.
Yeah, until one dies. So, it's been really fun to meet you girls. It's been really, really... But really, I enjoyed watching the film, and you guys have been really fun and very funny, And I want to listen to more podcasts because I want to hear about more of this Prince universe of Christmas films that I did not know.
Oh, yeah.
Existed. Thank you, Pat. How do we end?
Do you have anything to plug?
Oh, well, I was on tour with supporting my good friend and very funny comedian, comedic pal, Tom Rosenthal. So he and I worked together many times. We did a show together on TV a few years ago, but he is doing a UK national tour, and it's called Manhood, and I'm supporting him. The dates have gone. They're not happening anymore, but they're happening at some point when Corona has finished. So can't really plug that, but that is happening if you're in the UK and interested in seeing him or I. I'm also starting up my own podcast, actually, called Scandinaveland, which is a spoof murder mystery Scandi-noir story where I play a Swedish cop. So that's going to be happening at some point as well, coronavirus.
And what's it called?
It's called Scandinaveland.
Scandinaveland. And they can just find that on wherever?
Well, it's not out yet, but it will be, again, coming soon because everything has been delayed in my life.
Yeah, we feel that.
Yeah. But if you would like to follow me, I'm on at Naz_Osmanalow on Twitter and Naz.Osmanalow on Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that. And yeah, I've got, you know, send me messages, send me proposals. If you want me to, you know, march on Istanbul and burn the current status quo, let me know. Please send me your mad messages. If you're a princess who needs, or a fake imposter princess, or if you've got an acorn with a secret message in it for me, please get in touch.
Yay! Holly, you want to do we have any business?
I don't think so. I think I'm doing like a COVID safe show that I might cancel on because I'm scared of performing in public in like Bee Cave or Lakeway or something, Texas. But no, you can find us on Patreon at @NetflixMissPodcast, Twitter at @NetflixMissPod, Facebook and Instagram at @NetflixMissPodcast. And yeah, we'll be reviewing more movies with more cool people.
Yeah. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Definitely like and subscribe and get on our Patreon. And I hope, you know, as we're in this home run of Christmas, I hope you have a very merry Netflixmas. Woo! Got it, baby!
Yeah, baby, that was great.